Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Monday morning, it's Monday, July 19th, 2021. Hope you're having a great day so far. It's going to be a warm one, at least here in southeastern Michigan and across the Great Lakes State. We're expecting a high of 80, let me see, what did I just read? I think they said 87. Yep, 87 degrees today for a Monday and sunny skies. So hopefully we'll continue to dry things out from Friday. What a mess. I was heading home from the studios. I was just telling Andrew on Friday after we had the wonderful interview with our friends from Father Chris Alar's Marian Fathers and my friend Hope and the show that they're working on for him for EW10. Anyhow, so I was heading back. I think it was around 1-ish or so. And it was just a torrential downpour. I called Dominic. I couldn't even see halfway on the way home. So I was driving very carefully and slowly, you know, according to freeway standards, and people are still flying by and then wondering why they're spinning out. So it was very, very dangerous, and a lot of homes, again, affected. We'll have a report on that in the news. But thanks be to God, things are drying out, 87 today. The rest of the week looking very nice, and right now on the weather map, not seeing any rain until Sunday, July 25th. 88 degrees, they're saying, on Sunday, and cloudy skies. The rest of the week, partly sunny, high of 90 tomorrow and in the 80s Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So very nice summer weather indeed. We'll give you the national forecast in just a minute. Do want to let you know what's coming up on the program today. All right, this morning at 2 cents at about 8:15 or so, whenever we get to it, I do want to give us something really positive to think about. And how about a Eucharistic revival? This is something that Bishop Cousins from the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul has been working on, and many people are jumping on this very important event and bandwagon because it's so needed now in terms of helping Catholics embrace what they have in the Eucharist, the source and summit of the faith, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And this is a project that's going to roll out over the next few years. And I think if we focus on this and bringing people together around Jesus in the Eucharist, keeping our eyes on him as he reminded us in the gospel this weekend, that we can really strengthen the church and each other. So we'll chat about that in the break. And then we're also going to be talking with, in our In the News segment, Vanessa Denha-Garmo. We almost always hear us because there's a lot to talk about in terms of bad news with the news media and their bias. But this morning we want to, as we always like to do, when we say when it happens, we will do it. We were monitoring, both of us, very closely over the weekend how the media would or wouldn't be covering these protests. And this had to do with Henry Ford Hospital. A number of locations, concerned workers were showing up because they're against being pressured to take the vaccine. Now, I thought they did a really great job on this, and the Free Press did a decent job as well, and we'll talk about their report. What I thought was very helpful was to show the different opinions of people in terms of the people were saying, look, we don't believe anybody should be forced to take it. That doesn't mean that we're anti-vax. Oftentimes, the media tried to say that people who are supporting those to have that personal decision, you know, all about the my body, my choice, that they're the bad people and that these bad people are all anti-vax. And if you're anti-vax, you're a bad person to begin with, which certainly is not true. But in this case, there are many people. There are people who don't support vaccines or those who do support vaccines. But the people gathered there, whether they were pro or anti, what they were definitely all against was this invasion of privacy that's happening over and over and over again, and people being pressured or not be allowed to make their own medical decisions. We didn't see this happen with any other illness, such as the flu vaccine or other vaccines going around, but only COVID, and I believe it has a lot to do with politics and control. But I feel that the local media outlets that did cover it, and unfortunately it was not all of them, as it should have been, but what I saw over the weekend from two of the outlets we thought was very balanced, and this is how the media should cover things. And we'll even, if we can, if we have a chance, play a clip for you, and so you can listen to the type of coverage that we had. We're also going to be talking about some other stories that the media are ignoring, including some of their favorite go-to stars and their opinions on places like Cuba. An interesting story about one of these very prominent women that's almost always featured on CNN and MSNBC and in all the other liberal talk show venues. She has been quoted in the past and very prominently in supporting Cuba, calling it one of the nations where everyone can be equal. Excuse me? So yeah, so where's the media about this, given what's happening down in Cuba right now, and has been actually for decades, but has come to a head in the last few weeks? 9:15, it's a big story. We continue to follow for you here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. It broke on Friday, and we're going to be talking about the different changes that Pope Francis has instituted with his motu proprio regarding the Latin Mass, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be addressing that with us. I've done a lot of reading and a lot of summarizing over the weekend, a number of different sources on this topic, and we'll pick the brains of Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who is a church history expert, an author of numerous books, and also working as the news director for EWTN and the executive news leader over there for EWTNnews.com. And also the National Catholic Register. He'll have a lot more on that as well. And then wrapping up, speaking of Eucharist, with Tom Nash, and he is hoping for a revival in Eucharistic processions. We'll talk about that, taking Jesus to the streets. Tom Nash joining us at 39 minutes past the hour. Gail Buckley is on vacation. We'll regroup with her hopefully next Monday. So that's a program for today on a Monday morning. It is July 19th. Again, if you're from the Michigan area, sunny today, a high of 87, tomorrow 91, overnight lows of 63, partly sunny on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, starting on Wednesday, the temperatures drop about 10 degrees, but still very comfortable. 80 degrees on Wednesday, 82 on Thursday, 82 on Friday, 80 degrees on Saturday, and then jumping up to 88 on Sunday. But then we're going to have some clouds and rain. Monday on the 26th, looking very nice, 88 degrees and sunny skies. As far as the national forecast is concerned, let's take a look. Still have a lot of crazy weather going on. Multiple weather hazards are affecting the West, and the threats will likely continue for the rest of the week. Elevated and critical fire weather conditions and isolated dry thunderstorms will be widespread, basically from California to Montana. And speaking of Montana, the weather forecasters say excessive heat persisting through mid to late week. And then you're going to have some other rain in that area as well, especially down in the Southwest. Right now, you are listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And don't forget, we've got our big 25th anniversary celebration coming up. I was reminded of that in the studios because I see all the 25 symbols hanging all over the place. Really cool. This is going to be the end of August, the last weekend of August, so check it out. It's on our website at AveMariaRadio.net on our homepage, and it's going to be so much fun. We are going to have praise and worship music. We are going to have food. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to have Mass. We are going to have panel discussions and just a great time for all. We're even going to have a Dunk the Deacon tank. So there you go. We have four deacons, including my husband, who are going to be taking part in this. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you can join us to celebrate 25 years of Ave Maria Radio on the air. Mark it down on your calendar. A great way to wrap up the summer. And again, that is the last weekend in August. You can check it out, AveMariaRadio.net. I believe there is a special link on our home page. Alrighty then, let's check the news, and as usual, there is a lot of it. It is a Monday morning, July 19th, and you're listening to Catholic Connection. Well, in Nigeria, gunmen have reportedly abducted at least 60 people, as Nathan Morley from Vatican News reports this happened in the northwest part of the country after the gunmen also raided five villages.
This latest kidnapping happened in Zamfara State. It's reported that at least 70 gunmen on motorbikes rode into five villages and fired shots into the air. Local residents described how the perpetrators caused panic before abducting villagers and escaping into nearby woodland. In recent months, Nigeria has been faced with an increase in armed robberies and kidnappings for ransom. Back in April, growing lawlessness across the country led lawmakers to call on the president to declare a state of emergency. The crimes are committed mainly in the northwest of the country, where security forces are struggling to cope with the situation. The problems of northwestern Nigeria are compounded by insurgencies in the northeast, which the UN say have left 350,000 people dead over the last decade.
Pope Francis, meanwhile, expressing his feelings for the people of Cuba during his first Angelus address at the Vatican since having colon surgery. The Pope saying that Cubans are facing difficult moments as they protest against their communist government. Many pilgrims in St. Peter's Square were holding Cuban flags during the address. Holy Father saying he's praying the Lord might help the nation construct a society that is more and more just and fraternal through peace, dialogue, and solidarity. Calls for freedom in Cuba continuing to be heard on the streets of Florida, meanwhile. SOS Cuba rallies were held in Miami, Orlando, and Tampa over the weekend. Protests have been going on for over a week now, and one man telling the Miami Herald this is the moment to end the dictatorship. Meanwhile, Rafael Cruz Devora, a seminarian who was arrested after taking part in protests in Cuba, was released on Thursday. He was briefly in a protest calling on people to understand each other and asking the authorities not to repress them with beatings, to respect the right to demonstrate. Starting today until year's end, the Cuban Ministry of Higher Education says it will allow passengers flying into the communist island to bring unlimited food, hygiene, and medical products with no import fees. Now, Cuban expert Dr. Andy Gomez says, well, this all may sound well and good, but at the end of the day, it's not going to mean much for the 11 million people who are greatly suffering there.
There are very few flights to the island because of COVID-19. And those flights, it's not the Cuban government, but the airlines have restrictions on the amount of material, suitcases, the passengers can take.
He doesn't expect any real change in Cuba until Raul Castro passes away. A growing number of U.S. bishops issuing guidance regarding groups celebrating the traditional Latin Mass in their dioceses after a new document from the Pope on Friday imposed restrictions on the use of that traditional liturgy. The Holy Father's document, making major changes to his predecessor, Benedict XVI's 2007 apostolic letter, which acknowledged the right of all priests to say Mass using the Roman Missal of 1962, which is in Latin. The new motu proprio states that it is each bishop's exclusive competence to authorize the use of the 1962 Roman Missal in his diocese. Many bishops across the U.S. granting permission for the traditional Latin Mass, meanwhile, to continue in their diocese while they study the document and determine how to proceed. Archbishop Gomez in Los Angeles also heads up the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, issued a brief statement on the matter on Friday. He stated he welcomes the Holy Father's desire to foster unity among Catholics who celebrate the Roman Rite, and added that as these new norms are implemented, he's encouraging brother bishops to work with care, patience, justice, and charity as together we foster a Eucharistic renewal in our nation. New York Police Department Hate Crimes Task Force, as Paul DeCastro tells us, is investigating after two religious statues were destroyed outside a Queens Catholic church over the weekend.
The vandal was captured on surveillance video around 3:30 a.m. outside of Our Lady of Mercy Roman Catholic Church in Forest Hills. In the video, the vandal picks up the statues and smashes them on the ground. The Diocese of Brooklyn says the statues depicting the Blessed Mother and St. Therese the Little Flower had stood outside the church for 84 years. The destruction comes 3 days after the same statues were knocked over but not damaged. It's believed the same person is responsible for both incidents.
The state police in Michigan investigating four deaths at the International Speedway in Brooklyn, Michigan over the weekend west of Ann Arbor. First, a group of five men found unresponsive at a campground at U.S. 12 and Brooklyn Highway on Saturday afternoon. Investigators say three of the five men passing away from carbon monoxide poisoning. The other two are now in critical condition. Earlier Saturday morning, a 30-year-old woman of Crosswell, Michigan, was found dead in an unrelated incident. Residents of Metro Detroit, Southeast Michigan area, still drying out after rains left some areas flooded over the weekend yet again. Areas that had already been hit hard after severe rain in June earlier in the month were washed out again on Friday, and residents say, you know what, we've had enough.
It gets stinky, real stinky.
It was awful. I mean, it's not acceptable.
Something should be done about it, because why is it continuing to happen?
Parts of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, Agros Points, and Detroit all saw flooding. Traffic coming to a standstill in one section of the points after a geyser gushed out of a manhole as area basements flooded. In Omaha, a team of volunteers, as Wendy Wild tells us, ready to help with storm cleanup in that part of the country.
The volunteers are members of Team Rubicon, a volunteer-led disaster response organization, also known as Gray Shirts. They'll be helping elderly and disabled homeowners with debris removal and damage assessment. The United Way is helping coordinate the volunteer help through the 211 phone number in Omaha.
Over in Utah, the governor there, Spencer Cox, is drawing attention to how Utah's historic dry spell is harming farmers and ranchers in that area of the country. Speaking at a farm in Layton on Friday, the governor is saying a reduction in food harvest caused by the drought acts as a hidden tax on the poorest residents of the state.
So when the price of food goes up, the wealthy will do just fine. The middle class will do okay. They'll get through. But the most needy amongst us are going to feel it the most.
Cox noting that most farms and ranches have already cut their water use by up to 75%. That, in turn, is having an impact on the yield of the crops as well as the size of the livestock. He noted that many farmers in Utah are older, and they could potentially sell their land to developers if they declare bankruptcy. The governor worries that such sales, though, could have long-term impacts on the nation's food supply as well as the environment. The National Interagency Fire Center says there are now 80 large wildfires burning across the U.S. One of the biggest is the Bootleg Fire in southern Oregon, which has consumed more than 298,000 acres and destroyed close to 70 homes. Meanwhile, the Beckwith Complex on the Sierra Mountain Range has also made its way through over 105,000 acres. It's 82% contained. The fire center says Montana leads the way with 18 large fires. One of the largest in Montana is the Robertson Draw along the Wyoming border with over 29,000 acres charred. It's 85% contained. An Ohio senator says lawmakers are making sure to get everything down to the fine details as they put together a bipartisan infrastructure package.
Chuck Schumer, with all due respect, is not writing the bill, nor is Mitch McConnell, by the way. So that's why we shouldn't have an arbitrary deadline of Wednesday. We should bring the legislation forward when it's ready.
Speaking on the State of the Union news program over the weekend, Republican Rob Portman saying the legislation is critical and infrastructure improvements are badly needed across the country, noting that China is spending roughly three or four times more on infrastructure than the U.S., while crumbling American roads and electrical grids are hurting the country's economic productivity. Mark Mayfield tells us South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is saying Republicans should be taking a page out of the playbook of Texas Democrats and leaving town if necessary.
He said he would leave D.C. if it meant it would stop the spending package that Democrats are considering. The Republican told Fox News Sunday Morning Futures he'd use every legal move in his toolbox to prevent rampant inflation. Democrats have a rough agreement on a $3.5 trillion spending package. Graham said he supports the $950 billion package to improve the nation's infrastructure.
The city of Laredo, Texas, is suing the U.S. Department of Homeland Security over immigrant drop-off. That city asking for an emergency hearing in federal court this week. The city specifically trying to stop the agency from sending refugees and family units that arrive in the U.S. through the Rio Grande Valley to Laredo for processing. The city says it simply cannot afford to foot the bill for sheltering an increased number of border crossers who test positive for COVID-19 and then have to be held in quarantine for 10 days before they can be released. And finally, in our news segment at 8:18 on a Monday morning, going to be a warm one in Michigan, going to see 87 degrees, nearly 90 degrees. Taking a cruise sounds really nice. Meanwhile, a three-judge appeals court panel is issuing a stay, as Gordon Beard reports, on an order that blocks CDC rules on cruise ships leaving Florida ports.
The state of Florida sued the Centers for Disease Control to remove its rules on cruise ships. Tampa federal judge Stephen Merriday agreed in June, saying in a 124-page ruling that the CDC's orders threatened to damage the state's cruise industry. Late Saturday night, a panel of the 11th Circuit Court in Atlanta ruled 2-1 to stay Merriday's ruling while the CDC appeals it.
It is a Monday morning. It's 8:20 on your Monday, July 19th, 2021. You're listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network and Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Check out our great websites with tons of info. AveMariaRadio.net, including our wonderful family celebration, 25 years on the air. We're celebrating big time, thanking you, our listeners, at the end of August. So check it out online, AveMariaRadio.net, and come join us in Ann Arbor, Michigan, for a fun and faith-filled weekend, including a Dunk the Deacon Tank. Just saying. All right, so it's co-produced by Ave Maria Radio at EWTN, EWTN.com. Coming up, just think about that. As it says in Philippians, just focus on what is good and what is noble. Everything right. We'll talk about that in relationship to a beautiful revival of the Eucharist that's being planned. Stay tuned.
Thanks to your support and the grace of God, Glen Mary Home Missioners recently celebrated the ordination of 3 new priests. These men have dedicated their lives to serving Christ, the poor, the marginalized, and the unchurched in rural parts of Appalachia and the South. Is God calling you to do the same? Whether you're new to considering religious life or have been discerning for a while, we welcome you to learn more about the Home Mission Ministry at glenmary.org. That's glenmary.org.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about wasting time with our Lord. How do you get to know someone? You spend time with them, of course. You talk with your heart in a one-on-one conversation. It's the same with Jesus as we speak to him through prayer. Listen in this week as Father John not only shows us how to waste time with God, but also gives us the reasons as to why be Catholic. Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's
248-594-9592. There is nothing like the colors of the autumn leaves, nothing like the sunset sky. When I look at the stars in the heaven, I can't believe my eyes. No, there is nothing like the sweetness of a smile. Nothing like the embrace of a friend. And when I see the heart of a child, I know that I can believe it. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever can be admired. If there is anything good in this world, oh, just think about that.
An oldie but goodie from singer George Rowe, based on Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Now, this is not to deny the existence of issues in the world and issues we need to address in the church. Nobody is saying that. Nobody is ignoring them. But we need to put things in context and also not forget the good. And as Jesus reminded the apostles over the weekend to break away for a while and to have some time for prayer. And sometimes that gets interrupted with life, as it did for Jesus and the apostles. But again, our Lord recommending there is time to break away and to refresh and to think about the things that are good and that are noble and that are lovely and that are right. Speaking of which, there was a beautiful commentary by Russell Shaw on Catholic News Agency. I just posted it this morning, all about a Eucharistic revival that is beginning and is going to be going on for the next few years. And it kind of got, as Russell says, perfectly describes here, it's a very good point. It was pretty much buried in the U.S. Bishops' Conference stories that came out last month regarding the Eucharistic document that they're working on. However, this is something that we're well aware of, and we're going to be partnering with the bishop on this. Auxiliary Bishop Andrew Cousins of St. Paul, Minneapolis, reported on plans at the conference, at the Bishops' Conference, for a project called the National Eucharistic Revival, and was ready and willing to answer questions. Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron of Los Angeles, very prominent media evangelist and wonderful preacher and teacher, urged that instead of starting next year what they were planning, the project begins sooner because of the urgent need for it. And in the discussion, Bishop Cousins says that's possible, but the revival needed to be carefully planned if the impact was to be lasting and deep. Now, this is a super important thing because I think this is something that can unify the Catholic Church. And what is more important to us than the Eucharist? It's a source and summit of our faith, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And yet there has been so much division in the church in recent years, and now especially with this decision coming down, the motu proprio coming down on Friday. And by the way, we're going to be talking to Matthew Bunsen, who's a church history expert and one of the executives at EWTN News. He's going to be joining us live in the next hour of the program to talk about it. A lot of division on this, and there's a lot of infighting, and that's, I think, very unfortunate, because certainly when people look at the church and they see division and they see infighting and attacks and the arrows going back and forth, it doesn't make our faith very attractive. Who wants to come into a church like that? And yet we should be encouraging people to consider the Catholic Church for many reasons, especially the fact that we are unique in terms of the Eucharist. And unfortunately, there are many Catholics who don't realize that. The numbers are pretty scary. And Russell Shaw outlines this in his summary. And by the way, I've posted this on my Facebook page. This is the article from Russell Shaw. 50 years ago, he says, nearly 60% of American Catholics attended Mass weekly. But by 2019, the last pre-pandemic year, the figure dropped to little more than 20%. He also notes that recent survey results showed that 2/3 of all U.S. Catholics and nearly 1/3 of weekly Mass attendees do not believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And reacting to these numbers, the bishops last year voted overwhelmingly in support of the Eucharistic revival in hopes of promoting faith and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Bishop Cousins is chairing the planning committee and is presenting a progress report, and he did so at the Spring Assembly in June. And it's going to be extending over 3 or more years, getting underway in dioceses around the country next summer and continuing at the diocesan level until the following year. And then in year 2, from July 23 to 24, they'll be devoted to carrying the revival into parishes. Small group leaders will be trained to have discussions among various age groups. Other parishes' activities are to include Eucharistic adoration, sacramental confession, and Corpus Christi celebrations. The high point of the third year will be a National Eucharistic Congress, the first of its kind in the U.S., since one in Philadelphia during the Bicentennial in 1976. The search for a suitable site, probably in the Midwest or South, is now underway. Overall, the project hopes to train and commission 100,000 missionaries to evangelize on behalf of that revival. There's already a number of groups that are involved in working on this, collaborating, including Franciscan University of Steubenville and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at Notre Dame, as well as the Knights of Columbus. And Ave Maria Radio and EWTN are going to be very involved in this. And Russell Shaw says it's going to be very, very big, and he is really hoping that this bodes well for us. And I think it's something to really pray about, to think about, to concentrate on right now when there's so many slings and arrows against us inside the church, outside the church, when so many people are sensing despair or feeling despair and wondering what's going on. It's like whack-a-mole. One thing gets solved, another one pops up. Just when you think you're getting healed, then you get hurt by something else that happens, whether it be something we see in terms of the public with an attack on religious freedom or something that happens inside the church that we don't quite understand. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And remember what he said in Matthew 16. When he founded his church, the Catholic Church, founded by Christ himself on the rock St. Peter, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Now, again, let me emphasize, this does not mean that we stick our heads in the sand and act like we don't have many issues that need to be addressed in the church. But despairing, fighting, infighting, name-calling, attacks, personal attacks, that's not the way to solve it. The way to solve it, first and foremost, is to come together in prayer. Pray for each other, gather around the Eucharist, and ask for the strength of Christ to revive this church, especially through something as wonderful, as good, and as noble, and as right as a Eucharistic revival. Amen to that. We need it now more than ever. We'll be right back.
Whatever is lovely, whatever can be admired, if there is anything good in this world, oh, just think about that. No, there it is.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, July 19th. Once a week, Vanessa Denha-Garmo and I do a segment called In the News, giving you a perspective on the media, what to expect, what should be done in terms of at least covering the who, what, where, when, why, and how, and being balanced, giving at least both sides of the story, when we all know that usually in one story, the more complicated, the more sides there probably are to it. But V, we have to say, we were very cautious in going into this story over the weekend, very concerned, because there were a number of protests at Henry Ford Hospital locations around our area in southeastern Michigan. They're pressuring their employees to get the vaccine, and we were wondering how was this going to be covered. And we were kind of concerned because there was one of the events where there were several hundred people and the media were kind of holding back. But then you and I said, okay, well, let's take a breath. Let's see how they end up covering it.
Yeah.
And actually, we were pleased that it was very balanced. Your thoughts? And we're going to play the clip from Fox 2, by the way.
Yeah, very balanced. And in fact, it wasn't just Fox 2. I first saw Bridge Magazine tweet about the show, Kurth, and I thought, okay, he's reporting. And Joel's always really stellar, I think. He's one of the best reporters around town in Bridge Magazine. So that was the first thing I noticed, that, okay, he's showing 500 people. He showed the video. He tweeted about it. Even though, you know, people made their comments on what they thought, and that's okay. That's what, you know, they had their own responses. And then I looked at the Free Press story, very balanced. It was explaining, you know, even these people were not anti-vaxxers, and some of them were vaccinated, but they believe people have a choice to get vaccinated or not. So I was very pleasantly surprised on the balance of not just Fox 2, but the Free Press. Bridge Magazine, I wasn't surprised because they're already pretty much always balanced. They did a great job. In fact, I think one of the best jobs last year during the pandemic and during the presidential election. And I give credit to Joel Kurth, who runs that magazine, that he does such a great job. So, you know, it was, and this is a great example, T, of what we should look for.
Right.
They're explaining both sides. They're explaining why people believe this way. You're going to play the clip of Fox 2.
Yes, like, Andrew's got it.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, and the point you made early on, V, when you first came on, is that not all the people protesting were against vaccines. I mean, it's not like, and they didn't paint them all with one.
Some of them are vaccinated.
Brush. Yes, exactly.
They got the vaccine. They just said, listen, I got the vaccine. I chose to. I'm not upset if somebody else chooses not to. And, you know, a lot of people have health issues, you know, and we don't owe that explanation to anybody.
Right, it's nobody's business.
Everybody's got their own underlying issues that they have to weigh all the pros and cons, like we do with any medication, like we do with any treatment, like we do with any disease. We have to look at the pros and cons and say, okay, what is this going to do to my body when it comes to surgery or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a listen to the Fox 2 report. This is a Fox 2 in Metro Detroit. and they covered the protest over the weekend. There were several, actually, on Saturday, not just at one Henry Ford location, but at a number of them around the area. Let's take a listen.
Last year we were your heroes, and now we're your villains!
Hundreds protested outside Henry Ford West Bloomfield Hospital. Here people spoke out against the health system's decision requiring employees get the COVID-19 vaccine.
I think it's an imposement on our freedoms.
One nurse who didn't want to be identified says right now he's not comfortable taking the vaccine. While health experts continue to say the shot does not cause infertility, the nurse still has his concerns.
I'm still in the midst of creating a family. I have one more child. After that third child, I believe there's a good chance I'll be getting the vaccine at that point.
The nurse says he's not alone.
I've been able to travel between Henry Ford and with this main campus off Grand River and here in West Bloomfield. And every unit I go on, there's always younger kids in my same situation.
Protests just like this happened at Henry Ford hospitals across Metro Detroit on Saturday.
I think it's very sad that last year these people were considered very essential. And this year, they're considered expendable. They don't care about their health or what happens to them.
Henry Ford says the decision is consistent with their existing vaccination policy. Right now, they require flu shots every year. Employees also have to stay up to date on their vaccines for measles, mumps, and more.
It's a tough situation, but from a freedom standpoint, you just gotta fight for your right to do what you want to do.
A statement from Henry Ford reads in part, "The data in science continues to reinforce the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines, including the mitigation of new and emerging threats like the Delta variant. We know vaccination is the best way to end the pandemic, and we remain confident in our decision. We are deeply committed to working alongside team members who have concerns." But the nurse we spoke to says he's prepared to find a different job.
I'm nervous. I have another, I have other jobs I can go to, but there's people, I feel bad for people that don't have the choice.
Henry Ford employees must be vaccinated by September 10th. In West Bloomfield, Veronica Meadows, Fox 2 News.
I thought that was a very balanced report. It had several statements from Henry Ford, and it had several statements from the protesters, including a very personal look with one nurse, saying he's not anti-vax, he's just not comfortable with getting it right now.
Yeah, I think she set the tone really well right in the beginning of this package when she started with the tease. We were your heroes and today we're your villains.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She really set the tone right away what this is all about. I thought she did a great job. I love the fact that she got the soundbite in there that this is about our freedom.
Right.
And this is the number one issue going on. This is mm-hmm. our freedom. To force us to take a vaccine or precaution anywhere in this country does take away our freedoms. You go down a very slippery slope and then you shun people who don't do it.
Right.
They're evil, they're terrible. So I thought it was very balanced. I think she did a great job in getting both sides of the story, and she personalized it for somebody, and I think he speaks volumes for a lot of people of why they're not getting it, because there's so much about this vaccine we still don't know, and
right.
There's more and more reports are coming out about the health risks. Now the inflammation of the heart of young boys is happening. And these are things that are coming out. So people do have a choice. What I have an issue with, what's going on in the media today when it comes to COVID-19 is the lack of coverage and why they're not talking about the treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And why isn't Henry Ford, they're so pushing the vaccine. It's the only way to really mitigate this virus. Well, what about the treatments and more than 90% recovery rate? The treatments that are out there for people that select doctors are using, others won't. I mean, I've had friends who called their doctor's office and their doctors are saying, oh, sorry, we can't treat you. If you get really sick, go to the hospital. While other friends were texting, and I was in this text thread, passing along the protocols their doctors were giving out. If you do get COVID, do these steps. Ask for this treatment. Ask for this antibiotic. Ask for this. There's people calling these doctors, the frontline doctors, and getting these prescriptions for these antibiotics to just have in their house because they know their local doctors won't prescribe them. I mean, this is not medicine. I mean, this is crazy that certain doctors will do certain things and others won't. And why aren't they talking? Why aren't media covering the treatments and the lack of consistency on the treatments?
Well, the thing is that why not put both stories out there? Okay, here's the vaccine and here's the treatments. Yeah, exactly. This is what we know about the treatments. Whatever happens, success stories. Maybe there aren't some success stories, but the same thing with the vaccine. And then again, all about letting people choose.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this is all about. So I think Fox 2 did a good job in really telling the story. They set the tone right away. This is about the protest. Why were they protesting? The sound bites were great. She personalized the story. She got
right,
both
with
sides
with
of the story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's that. What I love the fact that you played this clip, T, is because you're showing your listeners, letting them listen for themselves what we're talking about.
Balance.
This
we talk
is a
about this
story.
Every week.
Yeah.
We want balance. We're not expecting them to be one side or the other. Balance, objectivity, going to both sides of the story. And in some cases, there are more than two sides of the story, as you and I both know from years in the trenches as reporters. But Henry Ford apparently did not want to appear on camera, so they did have several statements from Henry Ford officials, which is fine, because if they're not going to speak, you can represent them through a statement, which is usually chyroned or lower thirded up on top of the screen, which is fine. But I thought, in addition to the other side of the story with the protesters, I really like the personal story, because this man was not, let's say, they didn't paint everyone with a broad brush. There were so many different people at this rally, and it was all about freedom at the end of the day.
Exactly. And they personalized the story where he's saying, you know, I'm not totally opposed to it, but
I'm not anti-vax. I'm concerned.
Yeah. I'm concerned. And because we don't have enough research on this vaccine, and there was talk and belief by some physicians who believed that this could have a negative effect on reproduction, your reproduction. And if you're in those childbearing years, this may not be the best for you. And some doctors are saying that and believe that. And there's not enough research to prove otherwise. And that's what their concern is. And so, although there's some doctors saying, oh, no, it doesn't do anything to reproduction. Well, has it been around long enough for us to really know that?
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was well done. It was very balanced. Now, this is the point, listeners. You don't have to agree with the position of Henry Ford, and I don't. I think they should talk about the treatments. I don't know if 100% the vaccine is the only way to mitigate this COVID-19, but he has a right to say that. He is right. That's his opinion. That's their stance. And this is what other people are saying. Now, This is what objectivity is. Give us all the information. We decide. You know what I mean? It's not you forcing your opinion down our throat. Show us all sides of the story. And then we, as the consumer of this news information, will decide what we think is right and best for us.
Yeah, but I wanted to play that story because we talk about this all the time. But this is a big story. It continues to be a big story. And this is an example of how to cover it. So I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I did too. And I actually think that the coverage that I saw, not just from Fox 2, but like I said, from Bridge and Free Press, I think they did, and News, I think they did a good job, all of them. I think they all were pretty balanced.
There's another story that just popped up I want to share with you. And by the way, if you're just joining us in the news with Vanessa Denha-Garmo and T, in the news with V&T, we do this once a week and analyze the news so you can do the same on your own. Interesting story that came out. You're probably familiar with this Gallup poll that recently showed in terms of the media just how bad things are. 21%, only 21% of respondents in this recent Gallup poll said they had a great deal of confidence in newspapers. If you look at the list, 21% had confidence in newspapers, 16% television news, and then Congress is at the bottom of the list in terms of America's confidence in institutions with about 12%. But think about this in terms of confidence in the media, 16% in TV news, 21% in newspapers. That is pathetic.
Yeah, that is really sad. And I wonder what goes on in these executive meetings when they read this. Do they care? Are they so worried about pushing their agenda they don't care that majority of Americans don't even trust them anymore? I mean, I you kind of wonder what the conversations are at the water cooler or even in the boardrooms at these newsrooms saying, you know, we got to get back to balanced coverage. I mean, what we saw over the weekend on this protest story is like, thank God, finally, we're getting some balance back.
But you know, it's not to just heap praise on them, and this is, they're doing their job. So kudos for doing their job.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm not praising it. Yeah, kudos for doing their job. My point is, are they going to wake up and say,
oops, did we lose Vanessa? I think we lost Vanessa. Let's see if we can get her back. We'll take a quick break. It is a Monday morning. It's 8:47. We'll take a break and see if we can regroup with Vanessa coming right up.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, Kathy Duncan, who we'd like to dedicate today in memorial of her father, Ed, on the 10th anniversary of his death. Kathy thanks him for all his love for his Catholic faith that he instilled in all his children.
You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Our family is celebrating 75 years of helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
To vent or not? If I get it off my chest, then I feel better. I gotta vent. Is this so? It's old theory. Somewhat like a catharsis. You've got to purge yourself of these emotions, and Lord help anyone who's standing in the way. It's old theory. It's inaccurate. Venting is generally not good for the hearers, and it's not good for the venter. Venting may be good for dryers. It's not good for people. When we vent, we become more likely to vent. And when we are more likely to vent, we are more likely to hurt and say things we shouldn't say. Careful on the venting. Better to think about what you have to say before you vent.
H51, welcome back. Had some problems reconnecting with Vanessa, and we'll have her back on next week. Coming up in the next hour of Catholic Connection, another important topic, Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN News and the Register will be joining us all about the Pope's decision and what's happening in terms of the reaction. The Pope's decision regarding the Latin Mass, restricting the Latin Masses to be celebrated around the world. Now, the United States has the most opportunities and the most parishes actually celebrating the Latin Mass. And behind the United States, I did some research, is the nation of France. Everywhere else, if you look up under the directory for the Latin Mass, it's pretty low. So the United States and France are number one and number two in the world. But what are people saying? What does this mean? What does this look like? And why should we be concerned about this? We'll take a look with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. And then we're talking about a Eucharistic revival. Well, one of the activities that will take place in this Eucharistic revival that's being planned by Bishop Cousins in Minneapolis, working with a number of different groups around the country in the church, which is great news. Hopefully a lot of Eucharistic processions taking Jesus to the streets to bless our cities and our neighborhoods. And Tom Nash, one of our authors and speakers and theologians here at Ave Maria Radio and EW10, wants to talk about that and a little tie in actually with what we need to do and focus on in terms of a revival overall in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So that is the program for a Monday morning. 8:52 on a Monday. I do want to mention also, I found that poll that I was just speaking about with Vanessa prior to the break and just wanted to share a little bit more with you. A new Gallup poll has revealed that Americans, I'm shocked, truly shocked, well, not really, have a consistent lack of trust in the media, with more than three-quarters of the public not saying they have much confidence in newspapers or television news. V, I think we have you on the phone. Are you there?
Yeah, gee, sorry about that. Not sure what happened there.
Well, technology is great when it works,
yeah,
but thank goodness for the
we
phone.
Love it,
okay.
Hate it.
Yeah, let
so
me
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it says 21% of respondents said they had a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in newspapers. 21%. 16% of respondents reported the same of TV news. What are the media thinking when they see these numbers?
Well, that's what I was saying before my technology dropped out on us. What goes on in the newsrooms and the water cooler conversations? I mean, what are they saying? I mean, when they see covers like they did over the weekend, and yeah, we're not supposed to be patting them on the back for doing their job or commending them. That's what they should be doing. But when they see that these kind of polls, they say, we got to go back to what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, we got to go back to balanced coverage, because that's what the media, that's what the American people want. They don't trust us anymore. They don't rely on us anymore. They don't believe us anymore. They believe that we have an agenda going on. I mean, are they going to go back to what journalism is all about, which is balanced coverage, getting both sides of the story or all sides of the story, and letting the consumer of this information decide what's best for them?
Yeah.
You kind of wonder what these conversations are like when they read polls like this.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you have Gallup, and then you had last month, you had another one from Reuters. Now, both Gallup and Reuters are not leaning to the right. I mean, let's be honest about that, especially like Reuters. So Reuters published another similar poll last month showing trust in the media way down. U.S. has lowest levels of public trust in the media among 46 countries. So we are rock bottom compared to other countries. So I don't know what they're thinking or what they're telling themselves. Are they patting
and
themselves on the back? I mean, what?
And the ratings are taking, a lot of these networks are tanking. They can't get the advertising dollars. I mean, you kind of wonder, like, what goes on in these executive meetings? Your
right.
ratings are tanking. The polls show that nobody trusts you. We're rock bottom in the country of all these 46 countries. I mean, all, you know, you have two significant polls that came out that, to your point, don't slant to the right. What goes on in these executive meetings? What goes on in these conversations? And then
I don't know.
Do journalists, media, you know, members, like the reporters, go to their executive, their bosses, and say, hey, are you guys reading this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys get it? People just want balanced stories. They don't trust us anymore. They don't rely on us. These two are businesses. I mean, how long can they survive if they can't get the ad dollars, if they can't get the ratings?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I don't get. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? And what this shows, though, Vanessa, is that they're so dedicated to their agendas that they're not even caring about they're cutting off their nose, as the old saying goes, despite their face.
Yeah, exactly. And you wonder how long this will go on, because the more and more people I talk to, just in my own circles, have tuned out the media. What happened last year during the presidential election, during the coverage of all those riots across the country, during how the pandemic was covered, people were so disgusted. They're like, I can't watch the news anymore. I don't
right.
know what's going on, and I don't want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
They selectively read or watch stories that they care about, but they don't consume the media like they used to, because there's this lack of trust.
Trust, absolutely, and more polls backing that up. V, thanks so much. Glad we were able to get the last few minutes with you. Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of Epiphany, right here on Ave Maria Radio every weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. And more with Vanessa Denha-Garmo coming up next week in our next In News segment. Matthew Bunsen on the Latin Mass, motu proprio from the Pope, and also Eucharistic Revival and Taking Jesus Back to the Streets. That's coming up next.